Let's open the June meeting of the Interpretations Committee. Who am I handing over to?
Catherine.
Okay. So, agenda paper two.
Thank you, Sue. So, agenda paper two discusses incremental borrowing rate. The request asked whether applying IFRS 16, a lessee's incremental borrowing rate must reflect the interest rate in a loan with both a similar maturity to the lease and a similar payment profile to the lease payments. Paragraphs 10 to 27 of the paper summarise our analysis. We note that determining incremental borrowing rate requires estimation, and the board expected that entities may need to start with the best information available and adjust accordingly. With that in mind, we think that the request in the submission asks for a degree of precision that goes beyond the definition itself. In applying judgment to determine incremental borrowing rate, an instrument with a similar payment profile to that of the lease may often serve as the best information for an entity to consider. However, IFRS 16 does not require that in every case. In conclusion, then, we think IFRS 16 provides an adequate basis for a lessee to apply judgment and determine its incremental borrowing rate. So, turning to question one on page 8 of the paper, we'd like to ask whether the committee agree with our analysis.
Comments? Okay.
Andrew.
Thank you.
I'll be very brave. I think that we could go a little further than the agenda paper and tentative agenda decision are saying, because I do think that there's a bit more in the standard that would push you towards being a little bit more precise. If I go through the rationale, if I look at the definition in Appendix A, that talks about a rate that would be required to be paid in a similar economic environment. And the basis for conclusions then sets out a bit of explanation about what the objective of the rate is. So it's to reflect how the contract's priced, we're told, in 160. And the payment profile of the lease is typically that of an amortising loan, which then affects how the contract's priced, because you're getting the capital repaid earlier. If it was a bullet payment at the end, I think it would be more expensive. BC 162 also talks about how the lease is priced, and it says it takes into account the terms and conditions of the lease. And I think that while it's not being explicit, it's pointing you quite clearly towards saying take into account the payment profile and whether you're being effectively repaid capital over the period of the lease or at the end of it. So I think that's where I end up with this. I do agree with the decision not to take it onto the agenda, because I think there is enough guidance sitting in the standard itself. But I wouldn't say that we often use it as a starting point. I would be more specific in saying that you look at the economics of the lease, you look at how the payment profile is set out in the contractual terms, and that points you towards setting the discount rate.
Okay, thank you. Bob?
Similarly, I do not agree with the staff analysis. I do think that you have to take into consideration the payment profile in figuring out the incremental borrowing rate. A couple of things I look at. Andrew pointed to BC 162 that in defining the incremental borrowing rate, you need to take into account the terms and conditions. I think the payment profile is a term of the lease, and so you need to take that into account. BC 160, in the setting of discount rate, it was to specify a rate that reflects how a contract is priced. Those are the words. And how a contract is priced always takes into consideration the payment profile. If you think about the lessor, when they have to figure out the rate implicit in the lease, they use the payment profile. in the definition itself, it's the rate of interest the lessee would have to pay to borrow the funds necessary to obtain an asset of similar value. So it talks even there about the borrowing. And if you think about just normal liabilities, normal debt, we figure out the effective interest rate by looking at the payment profile. It's the how much you borrowed, what's the payment profile, and that gives you the interest rate. So if we're trying to figure out how the contract is priced, incremental borrowing, determining the incremental borrowing rate, I think you have to think about the payment profile. I don't think it would be appropriate to have the same incremental borrowing rate for a lease where the payments are spread versus a lease where the payments are back-ended. So I would go farther. I think you have to start with the payment profile.
And the words in the definition don't make you pause. The fact that it just says over, well, just says, it's got lots of words, obviously, but key words in there are to borrow over a similar term.
Well, the similar term and similar security. I think those terms are in there to help because you need to think about, because remember, here you don't have know the amount borrowed. So we're backing into the amount actually borrowed in this lease. So that's why those terms are there. But you don't need to put in there the payment profile because that is a known term. That's part of the terms of the contract.
Even though the definition doesn't refer to terms.
No, but I don't think they, I think the, well, I can't say what the board thought, but the board said in paragraph 160, BC 162, that they were trying to figure out a rate that takes the term into account, the terms and conditions of the lease.
Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to those made by both Bob and Andrew. Although I agree that IFRS 16 doesn't explicitly state in these types of circumstances to require to use a rate that considers the payment profile, when I reflect on what's in BC 160, 162, in conjunction with what's in IFRS 16, and then reflect on what our role as a committee is, which is to look at what's the basis of conclusions in conjunction with the standard to determine what that implies relative to the question that is asked, I would agree that the tentative agenda decision doesn't go far enough. And so I think, to me, what's particularly important, reflecting the arguments that others have made that I agree with, I think I would go further in the penultimate paragraph to say something along the lines that although IFRS 16 does not explicitly require to reflect an interest rate with a similar payment profile, the committee observed, you know, that implying judgment in determining the incremental borrowing rate, a lessee might often refer as a starting point to a readily observable rate for a loan with a similar payment profile. So, just, as I say, the tentative agenda decision to me leaves it too wide open relative to what I think the base for conclusions in conjunction with the requirements of the standard would suggest in the circumstances.
Sorry, I keep asking people questions. Just to give you a bit of context, I'm trying to be very careful with all of the agenda decisions that we're really, given all of the discussion at the moment about the role of agenda decisions, that we're very confident as a committee that what we put in the agenda decisions can truly be said to reflect the, you know, basically repeating the requirements and the standards. So I think what the staff analysis is doing is acknowledging that we think a good starting point would often be a sort of amortizing type rate. But if push comes to shove, given what's written in the definition, could we actually say you're not allowed to use a bullet rate? And I think that's sort of where we're trying to address it. So I agree that economically it may feel like a amortizing rate is a good place to start in terms of the analysis, which I think is what we've said in the agenda decision, but the staff have been careful not to go so far as to sort of imply more than that because the definition itself isn't as explicit as that.
I guess I understand all of that, and I agree, you know, I understand the staff's
position and what you're saying. But when I look at, you know, particularly about BC 160 and 162, where it talks about how's the contract priced, I think it's, we would all say that in an instance where they're an interest rate for a bullet loan versus an interest rate for an amortizing loan, there could be a substantive difference between the two. And so I'm a little bit wary of not being, I worry that if a standard does not explicitly address a question, and we say because it doesn't explicitly address, we're not going to give an answer, that we won't be helpful to our constituents. And so I think to be helpful, given the requirements of the standard in conjunction with the basis, I guess my view would be consistent with the Andrew and Bob. I think the agenda decision doesn't go far enough.
Okay. One thing in listening to the comments that I think potentially could strengthen a bit that penultimate paragraph, and I only throw it out now so people can comment. I'm not sure it would meet maybe where Bob and Andrew are, but it's only to see if you think this would help you, is I think in that penultimate paragraph, I mean, maybe starting, like you said, Reinhardt, with an although IFRS 16 doesn't explicitly require it, if we thought it did strengthen it a bit, the committee's observation could say, in sort of applying the definition, an entity might often determine a rate that reflects the payment profile. So not necessarily just starting referring to that being the starting point, but could actually say, you know, although it's not explicit, it might often determine a rate that would have a similar payment profile.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Bruce?
Thanks. I actually agree with the STOS paper and the position we got to. I mean, I appreciate the views the other guys have got, but I think my view is a bit similar to Sue's, that I'm worried that the degree to which we extend the agenda decision and we start putting in additional things, I would worry that somebody would come back and say, you're now bordering on changing the stand that's in there. What was interesting is I chatted to a number of people I work with around whether they'd seen an issue with this, and not many people I'd come across had actually seen this as a big challenge that they'd gone through and they're currently going through their IFA or any of their lease accounting. So it wasn't something necessarily that we found was something they urgently found was a massive problem at the moment in leasing that I'd come across.
Guy?
My perspective is similar to the earlier comments around reading the phrase definition that simply says similar term. It doesn't say similar term as the lease term. And reading similar term in conjunction with BC 160, BC 162, my natural reading of those words was that I would think about payment profile when thinking about the IBR to utilize. And I'm a bit concerned that in the agenda decision, you know, explicitly saying similar term means lease term, I worry that actually changes the sort of notion conveyed in the definition that simply says similar term. I would have thought in the context of a stream of cash flows, a phrase similar term would command that I think about the payment profile of those cash flows, not just the sort of final cash flow in that stream of payments. So I do worry that we're in fact changing the notion of IBR by explicitly stating similar term means the lease term. At the same time, I agree that in a lot of cases we're probably talking about issues on the margin here. This is an estimate. It's a judgment that has to be made, and there isn't a precise number for that. And one needs to approach the determination of the IBR in the context of an estimate and having imperfect information in deriving that. But in a more extreme scenario, say a 20-year lease term, whereby all of the payments are made in, say, the first 5 years of that arrangement, I struggle with the notion that I wouldn't think about payment profile in setting my IBR. And I worry that the agenda decision as it's written basically says, even in that more extreme scenario, you can ignore payment profile. Because of that, I would think we should be going further in the agenda decision, similar to the earlier comments that have been made.
Okay, thank you. Tony?
I was comfortable with where the staff had got to. I think I'm mindful of working with the words in the standard. And I understand that you can look at what's in BC 160, BC 162, and that might lead you to a different place. But I think the basis is helpful for clarifying something that might not be clear, for helping us perhaps with terms in the standard that aren't defined, which is something we might come onto a bit later this morning. But when we have something that is actually defined in a way that I can understand, and working with the words in the definition that refer to similar terms, similar security, I think we'd be going beyond what is in the definition in the standard if we were to say the only way of looking at it is that you have to use an equivalent rate on an amortizing loan. And that feels like we're actually stepping beyond what is in the standard to do that. I completely agree that you probably get a better reflection of the economics if you use an amortizing loan, but or the rate on an amortizing loan, but that's not what the board wrote in the definition. So I was comfortable with where the with where the staff had got to and with the tentative decision.
Sorry, I've been watching people too closely, so I don't know who's put up their card in what order, so I apologise if you've been waiting for a while. Bertrand?
I don't have a very strong view in this on this question. I mean, maybe I can just say what we've done at Vivendi. We're mostly financed via group bond borrowings, but then we recalculated a local equivalent bank borrowing to compute the IFRS 16 discount rates. So I think it's pretty clear what we understood by reading the standard. So I would probably, I can't disagree with what some have expressed earlier. At the same time, I perfectly understand the staff position. And I can't disagree either with this position. So I don't have a very strong view on this one. I just remark that we're in June 2019, and IFRS 16 has been applied for 6 months now. So maybe the staff position is reasonable. But if you cast a vote, Sue, don't be surprised. Maybe I could vote twice.
That's always helpful, Bertrand. Always helpful.
Vote early, vote often.
Thank you for the heads up. Michael?
So my observation is probably more on the side of Bob, Andrew, Reinhardt, Guy, in the sense that the way I read applying judgment is there's two different circumstances. One is, well, what kind of looks reasonable? And that's where I think, I can see what you're saying about the committee going further than the words permit. Then there's applying judgment based on what the standard seems to be clearly telling you. And I had read BC 162 as well. Unless terms and conditions mean something else, I'd read it as terms and conditions as including the payment profile. So I wasn't sure why somebody wouldn't do that, what rationale they might have, not absolutely explicit, but when would you not look at the payment profile if it tells you to look at the terms and conditions? So I was more on the side of
you haven't read the basis for conclusions.
I mean, the one thing I'd point out, and just to let you know, I personally think that determining a rate that reflects the payment profile of the lease is great. It's absolutely, I think, fully, fits into the words in IFRS 16. But one thing we know, because we obviously, in doing our analysis, looked very closely at all of the words, and one thing that I noted, that when BC 162 refers to terms and conditions, it doesn't actually sort of say like some of the other times that might say, oh, the board sort of, you know, thinks that an entity should consider the terms and conditions, it noted that it decided to define. So when it was coming up with the definition, the board itself considered the terms and conditions and actually, you know, created the definition that refers to similar terms, similar economic environment, etc., to try and reflect the terms and conditions. So I suppose that at least said that we couldn't even lift those words to say you must consider. I mean, I think you should, of course, in a sense, but it was almost like we couldn't use this as a separate thing to go beyond. That was just confirming and explaining that when the board came up with the definition as worded, it was thinking about reflecting the terms and conditions in that definition, meaning that when it spelled out similar term, similar security, etc., that was the way of it reflecting the terms and conditions. Jim?
I'd like to say that I agree with staff analysis. After knowing the comment started with Andrew and concurred with some others, I think this approach is as good as we could get or should get, because IFRS 16 is new. We are dealing with the realities that somewhere is said 85% of the leases were traditionally called operating lease. And the incremental borrowing and all these standards or words or the board explanations to take into account of terms and conditions or to estimate is the way to tell the industry or the accounting staff what to think of. That's good enough. Yeah, ideally, if we could say more, how to or where to find the raise, that's better to guide the practice. But I don't see it there, because in reality, companies borrow or they don't. If a company never borrowed, they have abandoned internal capital to back all the leases, where to find the similar terms and conditions? We don't have all these answers yet. So just simply follow the standard words and the board's open comment or explanations. That's what we should do now. And maybe give it a year or two when we see enough practice. And after this, using the IFRS 16, company started to back specific loans, leases with borrowing, we could find the similarity, we should find the link. But now it's still early. So I think as the interpretation committee, we should simply follow the standards and give the industry, give the world a little bit of time to practice. If we say more on top of that, I'm afraid we're going to change the standards, or we're going to push too far on the implementation of the newly issued standard. So I think this staff's approach is good, and I agree with it.
Amarshan?
Yeah, thanks. My first consideration would be, is there a material difference? And I guess in a predominant number of cases, there is no predominant, no material difference. However, it could be. And you know that I always like IRS 8 in terms of disclosures. So if there would be a material difference for a bullet loan versus an amortizing loan for a very long lease term, I would then expect to see a disclosure. The reason why I would not go beyond the current standard, and I'm not able to read anything else within the current standards, is how we would apply that and what subsequent questions we might get. I give you an example. For example, an extended the option to extend a lease term, or the option to early terminate a lease, or an index lease, that could all affect the interest rate of a kind of loan, because optionalities within loans are priced differently. And we have not discussed the topic yet, but if we really say we want to have economically the 100% fit in terms of the loan, in terms of the payment profile, and in terms of optionalities, then this would get a really challenging exercise. And therefore, I would keep it as it is.
Young Soo?
I would say I agree with the staff analysis and conclusion. Many people says about the paragraph BC 162 about the terms and conditions, and my reading is that the terms and the conditions of paragraph BC 162 includes the payment profile also. The main reason why I'm saying that is because IFRS is a principle-based accounting, and principle-based accounting must include, must be able to present the economic substance of the transaction. And if this payment profile affects materially the lease payment, lease asset, that we have to consider the profiles of the payment and determination of the incremental borrowing rate. So I support the staff analysis and conclusion. And also, as you know, the Bruce said, I talked with a couple of practitioners before I come here, and they said that considering the profiles is not going to be too much difficult. So I think practitioners' viewpoint is not that difficult at all, and that is one of the points I also supported. However, when I talked with the other practitioners in Korea, they expressed some concerns about the other parts of the definition of the incremental borrowing rate. That is not directly related to this issue. But what they said was that, for example, the definition says something about the similar security, and they don't know what security actually means. They said that it could mean either the underlying asset, or it could mean the right of use asset. So they don't know what the security actually means between those two. And also some other people says that, in the right of use asset in determination of the incremental rate, the entity has to think about the value of the right of use asset. But in order to determine the right of use asset's amount or value, they have to think about the incremental rate. But the incremental rate is not determined yet. But the standard, the definition requires the entities to think about the incremental rate to determine the value of the use of the asset. The right of use asset. So that they have more concerns about the other parts of the definition of the incremental rate. So I think that we have to go beyond when there's a agenda decision. Maybe the board can issue some kind of educational materials on the other parts of the definition of the incremental rate.
Okay, thank you. Carl?
Yeah, I'm supportive of the tentative agenda decision as drafted. I think it's well aligned with the words in the standard, and I have concerns departing from that. And even the BC 162, it's referred here. I think we have sufficient guidance and well aligned with the words in the standard. I will stick with that.
Thank you. Bonnie?
I have similar views, I think, to Bertrand. Maybe mine are a little bit stronger in one way, and that's in agreeing with the staff's analysis and the tentative agenda decision. I think from a practical perspective, we did something very similar to what Vivendi did in terms of determining the incremental borrowing rate for a significant number of leases that we now have to focus on a little bit differently, starting with our external borrowing rate and then walking back, making adjustments for currency, term, and other things to apply to not the portfolio approach, but just the group of leases that we have. And I think inherently we did, of course, look at the term, the definition used by the board and in IFRS 16, but I think we also looked at it as maybe a little bit of a simplification in terms of we don't know the exact rates that are used in the leases, and so the definition is for us to apply the best we can using the information we have, making appropriate adjustments based on our judgment to get to what an incremental borrowing rate is. It's never going to be perfect because we just don't have that information. So I do agree with the staff's conclusion. I do agree with where it's gotten to, and I echo Bertrand's maybe caution that We've already gone out with our Q1 reporting, disclosing what the impact has been, how we've determined our incremental borrowing rate, what the weighted average rate is. We may be the only one of the few that does quarterly reporting similar to a U.S. company, but we are coming up on the half-year reporting, so it is important that I think we do come to an appropriate conclusion to give some guidance to companies as they're looking at preparing their half-year reports.
Okay, thank you. McCann?
Yes, I support also staff's writing and proposal, and I think it is important then to safeguard that we have principle-based standards, and it is also too early, I think, to have more prescriptive wordings in this situation. So to keep the standard at, or the proposal as it is, I think it's the best way. Yes.
Thank you. Tom?
Yes. First of all, I speak here as the IOSCO observer. Of course, we do some outreach within IOSCO, but unfortunately, we cannot reach everybody before the meeting is here. So that means that afterwards, it could appear that after internal discussions, C1 has another position as expressed by me. In relation to this issue, we were in the camp more of those who say, okay, we should go somewhat further. However, I understand the reasoning for the problems. There is one concern when I read the tentative agenda decision where it says IFRS 16 does not explicitly require, and in fact, if I hear the discussion well, what is meant here, the definition in IFRS 16 does not require. So my proposal will be to be there more specific in the tentative agenda decision by saying that the definition does not require. Because IFRS 16 is a principles-based standard, and when you say that IFRS 16 does not require, what is then the principle-based approach in IFRS 16? So I would like to add there the words, the definition.
Okay. All right. So I'll ask the relatively easier of the two next questions first. So the first one is whether the committee agrees with the staff's recommendation not to add the matter to the standard setting agenda.
It's everybody except one.
And then... Okay, so because it's easiest, and also because I find it a little bit hard to gauge for those who have commented on want to go further, how much further they want to go. So what I'll propose in the first minute, at first instance, is just ask Petrina one thing. I'm just going to call on you to do the additional. So firstly, I'll ask for a show of hands for who would support the draft agenda decision as drafted in the appendix to agenda paper 2, with just the addition that Ton had suggested. So it's saying the definition of
incremental
borrowing rate in IFRS 16 does not explicitly require, but other than that, keeping the agenda decision as is. Could I get a show of hands for who could support that?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And go. Didn't see you arrive.
That's 10. Yeah, I just arrived. Well,
people will be suspicious that we just kept you on the side. And got you. Okay, thank you, Goro. So that's 10. So we can go out with that as drafted with that addition from Ton. Were there any other... I'm sort of doing it in reverse slightly, but were there any other sort of drafting type comments that people had?
Yeah, I just said one small, it's more drafting. Just when we start the third paragraph, applying IFRS 16 at least is incremental. I just would have moved that first sentence earlier, because I think we kind of jump into incremental borrowing rate all over, and then suddenly we put the principles while we're using incremental and borrowing rates and not the implicit rates.
Anne? Sue, so I think there's been some discussion around the table about what is in the last paragraph, or last but one, so up about the fifth line, a lessee might often refer. There was some discussion about using the word determine, which is a different sort of idea. So that's come up with a couple of people. So rather than the might often refer, some wording around determining a starting point and determining a rate.
I was proposing just to keep it as drafted for a minute, so without that adjustment, but just to confirm that was the case. Okay, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Okay, all right, we'll see what the world thinks of that. So, staying on IFRS